إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، قال الإمام المجدد شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى في كتاب التوحيد: باب قولي ما شاء الله وشئت. يقول الشيخ الفوزان: أي ما حكم التكلم بذلك، هل يجوز أم لا؟ وإذا كان لا يجوز فهل هو شرك أو لا؟ عن قتيلة بنت صيفي الجهنية صحابية رضي الله عنها أن يهوديا أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال: إنكم تشركون تقولون ما شاء الله وشئت، وتقولون والكعبة. فأمرهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أرادوا أن يحلفوا أن يقولوا ورب الكعبة، وأن يقولوا ما شاء الله ثم شئت. رواه النسائي وصححه، وكذلك صححه الإمام الألباني وهو في السلسلة الصحيحة. الإمام المجدد شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى in his book كتاب التوحيد mention each chapter ما شاء الله وشئت. The saying when a person says what Allah willed and what you will. And the Sheikh Al-Fawzan, he says, meaning the ruling of this. Is it permissible for a person to say that? Whatever Allah will and you will. And if it's not permissible, is it shirk or not? That's how we understand this title of this chapter. And from the Adillah and the proofs that Al-Imam al-Mujaddid, Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahu ta'ala, brought the narration by Qutayla. Qutayla, she is the daughter of Sayfi al-Juhaniya. She is from tribe of Juhayna. She was a female companion. She was from the Sahabiyat. رضي الله عنها. So قتيلة رضي الله عنها said, a Jew came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, and remember, because there was the Jews, they live in Medina, there was two tribes of the Arabs, they live in Medina at that time when the Prophet ﷺ made the Hijrah. That was the Aus and Khazraj. Because Medina at that time was very small, it was not like the Medina in our time. And it was two tribes from the Arabs that they live in Medina, the Aus and Khazraj. And there was three tribes of the Jews. From them, Banu Nadir and Banu Qaynuqa and Banu Qurayza. These are the three tribes of the Jews that used to live in Medina. Banu Qurayza, Banu Qaynuqa, Banu Nadir. So you understand where this Jew came from. This Jew, where he came from. because the Jews, they used to live in Medina. But they were expelled because they broke the truce with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ala ayin, that happened after they broke the covenant, not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ala ayin, a Jew came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, "You people have made shirk." And when he say "you people," he's not addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mean they're in Medina. They see the people. They have neighbors that are Muslims. They deal with them in a market. And they heard, and they spoke Arabic, these Jews. So they heard some of the Muslims who enter into Islam, they making these statements. So he came and say, "You people have made shirk. You say, as Allah has willed, and you have willed." And they say, "By the Kaaba." He heard people swearing by the Kaaba. So these are people, Muslims, pan tawheed, you prophet calling to tawheed, as though he's telling him, "You prophet calling to tawheed." So there are people say by the Kaaba. And who's speaking here? A Jew. They know the haq. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered, Allahu Akbar. The Prophet said, "You're a Jew, get out of here," and this. The haq is the haq. The Prophet ﷺ ordered that when intending to swear, you say, "By the Kaaba."
The Lord of the Kaaba.
I know. So I'm asking a literal question. See, to see if you guys woke up or still asleep. Did the Prophet ﷺ say to them, "Whenever one of you swears, say, by the Kaaba"? No. Say, "By the Lord of the Kaaba." Aina. By the Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the Lord of the Kaaba. And also, you say, "As Allah will, then you will." It's recorded by Imam al-Nasa'i, who greatly is sahih. And also it is found in al-Sahiha, of Imam al-Albani, rahimahullah, hadith number 136. مناسبة هذا الباب لكتاب التوحيد أن هذا الباب داخل في باب قول الله تعالى فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا وقد سبق بيان مناسبته. He says this chapter is included in the other chapter in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Do not set up rivals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." It's not permissible to set up rivals or co-equals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because their statements, because when they swear by other than Allah, and when they say whatever Allah will and you will, and that chapter has already preceded. That chapter has already preceded, and about the ayah 22, and that's the chapter before the last one, actually. قال الشيخ لما كان من تحقيق التوحيد الاحتراز من الشرك بالله في الألفاظ وإن لم يقصده المتكلم بقلبه نبه المؤلف رحمه الله بهذا الباب على ذلك وبين بعض هذه الألفاظ لتجتنب هي وما مات لها. الشيخ صلى الله عليه وسلم, he referred us back to that chapter 42, chapter 42 according to the English translation, and in that chapter, the Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, who referred us to it to read the relevance of the chapter to the Kitab al-Tawheed, he says, for a person to achieve the Tawheed, he has to stay away from shirk, and including the shirk by expressions. Because there is shirk, that the people fall into shirk by actions and also by expressions, by statements. Yet even if the person says something, say statement of shirk, even though he doesn't intend it, we did the shirk. So for this reason, the Mu'allif have this chapter to make clear that matter. That certain expressions that run on the tongue of certain people, they entail shirk, they should avoid them. They should avoid such expressions. You remember in that chapter, they says, had it not been for the dog, the thief will came in, had it not been for the geese and this and that, okay? So all of that is shirk, and it should be avoided. Now, المعنى الإجمالي للحديث, the general meaning of this hadith, قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات آمين. ذكر هذا اليهودي للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن بعض المسلمين يقع في الشرك الأصغر, أن بعض المسلمين يقع في الشرك الأصغر حينما تصدر منه هذه الألفاظ التي ذكرها. فأقره النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على اعتبارها من الشرك, وأرشد إلى استعمال اللفظ البعيد من الشرك بأن يحلف بالله وأن يعطف مشيئة العبد على مشيئة الله بثم التي هي للترتيب والتراخي لتكون مشيئة العبد تابعة لمشيئة الله. In the general explanation, or giving a general meaning of this hadith, our noble Shaykh Al-Allama, Al-Walid, Al-Doktor Salih Al-Fawzan, may Allah preserve him.
Ameen.
And give him good health.
Ameen.
And may Allah show him mercy for him, for his families and his parents,
Ameen.
And for the Muslims as well, and ourselves. He says here, this Jew, he mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that some of the Muslims fall into shirk, minor shirk. That some of the Muslims fall into minor shirk. How? By uttering certain statements that he mentioned them. Swearing by the Kaaba. Swearing by the Kaaba, وهذا لا يجوز. This is not permissible. Because swearing by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is a minor shirk. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam approved him. He accepted his statement, his remarks, that yes, those statements are from shirk. If they were not from shirk, he would correct him. He would say, no, it's not like that. And he addressed the people to stay away from expressions that entail shirk. And that they should swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They swear by Allah. Likewise, when they come to say, to use this term al-mashi'a, the will, they shouldn't say whatever Allah will and you, O Messenger of Allah, will. But rather, they use this thumma that benefits the order. Then, in English, not and. It's not whatever your world and whatever Allah world and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam world, like when they were addressing him, is whatever Allah will then. Because the mashia of the human being, it depends on Allah's mashia. Yes, Allah has a firm mashia for us. We have a will to choose. But that will never escape the will of Allah. He always depend on what Allah's will, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever Allah does not will never happen. A person can plan all his life, but if Allah didn't will that to happen, it will never happen. And we learn from this a great benefit that at-tawakkul ala Allah. And it's not just because of your skills, how much you know, or who you know. It's what Allah wills. Na'am, you follow the means. Labas, our religion, teach us to follow the means that are permissible. Not like someone say, look, why would I go through trouble, hardship, look for a job, go out there in the cold and the heat, and it may never happen because Allah may not will it to happen. No, you don't know what the unseen. So you follow your means, but then alhamdulillah, if it happens, because Allah wanted it to happen, and you thank Allah first and most. But if it didn't happen, mashallah, you've done what you did, what you were commanded to do. مناسبة الحديث للباب. Now the Shaykh, he explained to us the reason why Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah selected this hadith to be a chapter, to be a proof in this chapter. قال أن فيه بيان أن قول ما شئت ما شاء الله وشئت شرك. وكما تذكرون أن في هذا الكتاب هو كتاب التوحيد، لكن هو كذلك كما قال الشيخ بن باز رحمه الله يبين فيه ما يضاد التوحيد وما ينقصه. لذلك هو كتاب التوحيد، لكن ترى أبواب كثيرة عن الشرك. He says why he brought this hadith, because this hadith contains the statement whatever Allah, what Allah willed and what you will. And this is shirk. So this is not kitab al-shirk. This is not the book of shirk. This is the book of tawheed. So what this statement has to do, because remember, as the Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan himself tells us in the beginning of this book, and also Shaykh bin Baz rahimahullah ta'ala when he explained kitab al-tawheed, in the first class, rahimahullah, he mentioned that in Kitab al-Tawheed, Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, he mentioned the Tawheed, he talks about the completion of Tawheed, and the virtues of Tawheed, the many fruits of Tawheed in this life and in the next. But also he mentioned many chapters to make clear the things that opposes Tawheed completely. All those things that take away from its completion, such as the shirk. That's why he mentioned many chapters to warn the people against shirk. you need to know tawheed, but you need to know shirk as well. ما يستفاد من الحديث, what are some of the benefits of this hadith? أولا أن قول ما شاء الله وشئت والحلف بغير الله شرك. لأن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أقر اليهودية على اعتبارهما من الشرك. The first benefit that the statement what Allah willed and you willed, likewise swearing by other than Allah, is shirk. It is from shirk. The Shaykh he mentioned, that's a minor shirk. Shirk asghar. He says, because the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam approved this Jew, because the Jew, he considered those statements as shirk. إِنَّكُمْ تُشْرِكُونَ means some of the Muslims, they commit shirk. Minor shirk. So the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't correct him and said, no, it's not like you. He approved his statement. And this is something that a lot of some people, it runs on their tongue. They're in trouble, for example, and then somebody, for example, they stranded somewhere on some highway, and then somebody came and helped them. And then they're like, has it not been for Allah and this brother, man? He said, and this brother. That's a mistake. Then, so and so, not and. Not Allah and this person came to your help. Now, it would end in Allah along with this person here. They help. Now, has not been for Allah, then. Because that person coming to help you is by Allah's will. If Allah didn't allow that person to show up, he will never show up. How many of a person we heard he's going to help somebody and he died, he get an accident. Or he got in bigger trouble than him. He needed more help. Turns out that the one who was waiting for him, he helped, he's the one who finished, get his things together. Now he's, I'm going to come and get you. You know. ثانيا معرفة اليهود بالشرك الأصغر. The Jews, they know the shirk al-asghar. They have knowledge of minor shirk. ثالثا فهم الإنسان إذا كان له هوى. That certain people, they have understanding, but they still choose to follow their desires. They have understanding. They have clear understanding. The Jews, they know, but they follow their desires. وَلَيَادَ بِاللَّهِ رَابِعًا قَبُولُ الْحَقِّ مِمَّنْ جَاءَ بِهِ وَإِنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا مُخَالِفًا فِي الدِّينِ. Number four. Number four. Accepting the truth from the one who brings it, even if he's an enemy that opposes the religion. He's not upon our religion. But if he speaks the truth, he's the truth. Likewise, we give some examples. If one of us landlord is a kafir, is a Jew, for example. When it happened, Jews have property. Muslims, they rent from the Jew. And they have agreement that the rent should be paid, for example, $700 a month every third of the month. No, can't pass the third as agreement. And then the fourth come in. No rent. So the Jew came, knock at the door. Can I speak to so-and-so? Oh yeah. Where is the rent? I give it to you whenever I want, the Muslim may say. You see? The Jew said to him, what are you supposed to fulfill? What? The contract and the covenant. You Muslims, in your book in the Quran, and your Prophet Muhammad had taught you to fulfill contract and to honor contract, and I have a contract with you. No, not only that you don't want to pay, you want to pay anywhere, and you want to give me only 500 because your neighbor pay only 500. Oh, your neighbor, he pay 500 based on a contract. That's because the neighbor pay 500, you want to change the, you see? No. So this person will say, this Muslim will say, what do you know? You're just a stinky Jew, get on my face before I call the police. No. At that moment, that Muslim, if there is an action like that, should feel ashamed of himself and should say, subhanAllah, a Jew reminding me of my responsibilities. Now, so you accept the haqq. When you look at the haqq, the statement itself, not where it came from. Sometimes the hawa people, because of desires, they look at the person that the haqq comes from. I'll give you another example. Sometimes some Arabs who are ignorant, especially in our areas, and I mean in America, some Arabs, because of their ignorance, they cannot accept haq from non-Arab. If a white man who Allah guide to Islam, African American, Allah guide him to Islam, and then he come to him and say, "Ya akhi, your pants, the sunnah." He's like, "What sunnah? You know, I'm an Arab man. What are you talking about?" Nah, this is wrong. This is very wrong. The haqq is the haqq. You don't look at the person, but listen to what they say. Yeah, he's non-Arab, so what? But he knows. He knows the sunnah. But some people say just because he was an Arab and the Prophet ﷺ was an Arab and they can speak a little bit of Arabic, that's it, they're better than others. Doesn't work like that. Aynan. خامساً أن الشرك الأصغر لا يخرج من الملة. أن الشرك الأصغر لا يخرج من الملة. That minor shirk does not take a person out of Islam. Minor shirk does not take out of Islam. بخلاف الشرك الأكبر. بخلاف الشرك الأكبر. سادساً الابتعاد عن الألفاظ المخلة بالعقيدة الابتعاد عن الألفاظ المخلة بالعقيدة واستبدالها بالألفاظ البعيدة عن الشرك واستبدالها بالألفاظ البعيدة عن الشرك بالله. There is incumbent upon the Muslim to stay away from all of these expressions and statements that impair the sound aqidah, go against the sound creed, and to exchange it with statements that are far from shirk. Why the Shaykh said exchange it? Somebody know? Why it could be enough. The Shaykh says, stay away from statements that have shirk in them. But why the Shaykh says, and exchange them with statements of tawheed that they have no shirk? Who knows? Hasan.
Because if you make statement of tawheed, it's ajr.
Ayna. Muhammad. Muhammad. A peripheral lad. Let me see, I saw him first. I come to you. Naam, Rahman.
It's hard to give up.
Ahsant. Oh, kadhalik. Naam.
I was going to say, because from the chapter, the people were swearing by the Kaaba before, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them to replace it, to exchange it with
Ahsant. Naam.
The Lord of the Kaaba.
Ahsant. Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he told them, that's what you say. And also, because it's a habit. People, some people swear by the Kaaba for years. It's a habit, so they have to make an effort to exchange it. Because it runs on their tongue. Like some people, they swear on Kaaba. You see? So they should say, "Wa Rabbi al-Kaaba." Some people somewhere, they say, "Wa Nabi." See? One Nabi. And I was in a class once with Sheikh, in the class of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, Hafidahullah, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, our Sheikh, Hafidahullah. And he was in the class of Aqidah. And he was talking about this, that swearing by the Kaaba, by the Prophet, when Nabi is shirk, asghar. And the Muslim should not do these things. Don't swear by your mother, by the food you eat. You don't swear by the Kaaba, you don't swear by the Prophet. And then the Shaykh, in the end of the class, people, while the class is conducted, they send questions to a person, because there is a person who reads the matn. The Shaykh is sitting in a chair, and like, for example, me, I read the matn of Kitab al-Tawheed. But with the mashayikh, and I'll tell you because I'm not a shaykh, alhamdulillah. But the mashayikh, now we will be like this. If Sheikh Fawzan teaching his class, for example, Nasser, he will be the one reading. He's the one who says, "Qala al-Imam al-Mujaddid, Sheikh al-Islam, al-Taymiyyah," and then the Sheikh is saying, he began to explain. So that person who's reading, people are giving him little papers. So as he's reading, he has a lot of pileups of questions, sometimes 100 questions, sometimes 20, sometimes more than that. So the ulama, hafidhahum Allah, from them, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, they stop a little bit before the adhan sometimes, and they answer this, especially in the times of Hajj. I noticed that. In the regular days, in the year, the Sheikh will continue with his class, because he has a lot of students of knowledge attending those classes. But during the Hajj and Ramadan, because Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, he stops his regular classes. He's explaining Sahih Muslim. In Hajj, he stopped it. For many reasons. Number one, because many students that attend his classes regularly the whole year, they go for vacation. So the Sheikh stopped the class so they don't miss classes. All right, he waits until they come back from vacation. See, adab of the ulama. And number two also, the Sheikh, at that moment, there is a lot of people coming from all over the world for Hajj. And then the Sheikh, he will give them. He knows the Sheikh, the Mashaykh, they know that many people who come from other countries, they are upon shirk. They don't know, because in their countries, they don't teach them Tawheed. The curriculums of schools, no Tawheed, nothing. So the Mashaykh, they take advantage of that, and they teach the books of Tawheed. Talatat Usul, Qawa'id Arba', Kashf al-Shubuhat, Nawaqid al-Islam. You will find the ulama, that's what they teach. Kitab al-Salat, Tahara. That's what they teach the people. Seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, Akhlaq. So those people who are Hajj, they take that ilm. And that's true, subhanAllah. A lot of people, they know the aqidah through Hajj. They came from their countries, because I noticed, because you're there, you pay attention just from the questions that the people ask. And then after that, if you hang around after Salat, the Sheikh continue, and then people will come. SubhanAllah, we've seen many things. With Sheikh Abdul Muhsin and with many other Mashayikh come and want to kiss him. Others from different countries, they thanking the Sheikh for talking about this topic. They said they never heard of such thing. They never thought that saying, well, Kaaba is shirk. No, Kaaba, SubhanAllah. You're not saying, well, hafila. You see, you're swearing by the Kaaba. You're not swearing by the bus. You see, or by the shoe. This is the Kaaba. This, see how they look at things. They said, no, this is the Kaaba, Musharrafa. It's okay to swear by the Kaaba, because you're not swearing by a bus or by a car or a house. No, no, no. This is the, not any house. This is the Kaaba, Baytullah. So, remember once, so he said, you don't swear by one Nabi. And one person said, what should I do, Shaykh? Okay, alhamdulillah, we got it now. We don't say one Nabi. But what we should say? The Shaykh said, wa Rabbi Nabi. Because it's they get used to say that now. So the Shaykh gave them, like the Prophet sallallahu advice. Say wa Rabbi al-Kaaba. You don't say wal Kaaba. And one of the students of knowledge, he mentioned that one of the brothers from this country, who they swear by the Nabi a lot. They know it. I'm not going to mention where they're from, but and after that, he was sitting in one of the Mashayikh class, and finally he got it, and he thanked the Shaykh. And the Sheikh said to him, so now you're not going to say one Nabi. He said, one Nabi, I'm not going to say one Nabi. he want to swear by Allah, man, look, I'm not going to do it. He said, one Nabi, we will never say one Nabi. The Sheikh said, you just did it. He's like, oops. He said, say, wa Rabbi Nabi. We're not going to swear by a Nabi again. So, because it become a habit. He knows. So, If someone is making a mistake like this, you don't just tell them, Akhi, don't swear by the Kaaba. No, you got to give them the alternative. But you don't come up with one, make up one. You got to come up with the Sunnah. Tell them, don't say well, Kaaba, by the Kaaba, but rather say by the Lord of the Kaaba. Don't say by the Prophet. We don't swear by the Prophet. Akhi, this is the Prophet. Yeah, it is the Prophet. Who says he's not? You can't swear by the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We love the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We respect him. But we don't swear by him. Swear by Allah. Say by the Lord of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam. سابعاً أن العالم إذا نهى عن شيء فإنه يبين البديل الذي يغني عنه إذا أمكن. وهذا this is exactly what we just mentioned right now, the point that the عالم, the scholar, or the one who have knowledge of that matter, when he forbid the people from something, he has to mention to them the دليل. Al-Badil, actually, Al-Badil, the alternative that they stick to instead of what they were accustomed to. Mayna, don't just tell the people, don't do that. And not just in this matter, in everything. For example, if you're someone upon innovation, making a mistake in wudu, in tahara, in salat, the way they make dua, don't just say, akhi, don't do it that way. Okay, that's all they know. If you tell them, meaning you're telling them, what? Don't do it. Okay, don't do anything. They're not going to do anything because you didn't give them the alternative. It's like someone who's want to take this road. So don't make a right. So what happened now? If you tell them, don't make this right, they're waiting for you to say what? Make left to go straight. Okay, so it's very important. You tell a person, don't do this, but you tell them what is right to be done. أين ثامنا أن النهي عن الشرك عام لا يصلح منه شيء حتى بالكعبة التي هي بيت الله في أرضه فكيف بغيرها. He says the prohibitions of shirk is general. Nothing is good. It's not like some shirk is okay, some shirk is not. Including the Kaaba. Okay, swearing by other than Allah is shirk. All of it. There is not like swearing, there is no exception. Like some people, they said, this is the Kaaba. Come on. No, including the Kaaba, the Bayt of Allah, in the sacred place, even that. He says, so what about those who swear by places other than the Kaaba? People swear by the tombs of some dead men. You see? And likewise, if it's not permissible to swear by the Prophet, what about those who swear by Jailani, Al-Hussein, and the like? تاسعا إثبات المشيئة لله وإثبات المشيئة للعبد وأنها تابعة لمشيئة الله. Allah wills, the مشيئة of Allah. There is مشيئة of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. But also Allah affirm مشيئة, a will for His servant. But the will of the servant depend on Allah's will سبحانه وتعالى. Cannot will something that Allah didn't will. It's not like Allah decreed a matter to happen this way. Like for instance, that this man is going to die when he's 20, but then now he's going to change it. He's going to say, no, I'm not dying when I'm 20. You can't do that. Or for instance, a person will have this education, will have this living, we have this provision, for instance. Even though if that person tried his best, man, from one business, start one business, to another, try, nothing happening, because that's all what Allah written for him. How much he's going to gain and the life he's going to have, Allah decided. Okay? So, you have a will, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to us the haqq, so that the person can make the right choice. Okay? You choose what is good for you and stay away from what is harmful. You choose the halal and stay away from the haram. You choose the path of guidance and you stay away from the path of misguidance by knowledge. Okay? You make an effort and you have a will to decide what you want to do, what you want to eat, where you want to be. But you will only follow the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot escape that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us beneficial knowledge, to strengthen us in the aqeedah and tawheed, protect us and our families from shirk, and to keep us firm upon the sunnah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi, sahbihi wa sallam taslima kathira.